Hi, and welcome in to another episode of your weekly Bible study. I'm Jay, and thank you so much for listening today. I really appreciate it, and you know, no matter if it's one person or 100 or 1,000 or however many it may be that are listening to this podcast, it gives me a great amount of thankfulness, pleasure and thankfulness. I thank God that you're listening and that we can all learn something about what we cover on this podcast each and every time. You know, we're not going to answer the world's greatest, you know, biggest questions. We're not going to, you know, sit here and ponder head scratching theories and all that kind of stuff. And we're not going to talk politics much, if at all, ever. And unless it has some kind of biblical reference. So, but today, you know what we're going to cover is the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment. And I'll bet you if you're been a Christian for very long, especially if you're a born-again Christian, you can go right to the chapter and verse where the greatest commandment is. And I'd also be willing to bet that you might think that this is one of the hardest commandments, or at least part of it's the hardest commandment. We'll get into it here on your weekly Bible study. The greatest commandment is found in the book of Matthew in the New Testament, chapter 22. Now, in this portion of Matthew, Jesus is being brought before and questioned by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're putting him to the test. They're giving him the third degree. And while they're asking questions of Jesus, they ask him like a really big question, and they thought they would trap Jesus, catch him with a, you know, kind of a trick question. You know, we all know there's 10 commandments. Well, the Pharisees got together and they asked one of the Pharisees, who happened to be an expert in the law, was coming up with this great question to ask Jesus, and they thought they would catch Jesus, like almost like a cross-examination kind of thing, you know, kind of a Perry Mason sort of deal. If you've never heard of Perry Mason, that's really not important right now, but anyway, let's get back to Matthew. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. I'm going to be reading out of the New International Version. Doesn't matter what version you're using. King James, some people think that's the only Bible. No, that's not true. It's not the only Bible. There's some more modern translations, and they all say the same thing. So if you use King James, if you use the NIV, like I'm going to read from today, or the English Standard Version, I have all of these versions, and I can read from any of them. But today, I'm going to be using the NIV. Matthew 22, verse 34 through 40. And it goes like this. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That's Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Now, you might think that, well, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind is an easy commandment to go by. Maybe so. But as we talked about in our last episode, a lot of the distractions that we come across in our daily life take us away from God. And so we need to work on that. And then we need to work on loving the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul and all our mind. And this is the greatest commandment. Now, the second part of this greatest commandment, the second greatest commandment, is love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's the hard part. Wow. You know, it's implied from these verses and from what Jesus said that we do and we should love ourselves, right? We should love ourselves. But what does that really mean? You know, there's a, if you think about it, there's a self-love that is corrupt. You know, it's the greed and the pride and all that kind of thing. And that's the root of some of the greatest sins. And it, and that must be put off. It must be put to the side. That is that sneaky little voice. It's the enemy talking to you, telling you that this type of self-love is the best, but it's not. And you need to put it behind you. You need to put it off. But there is a self-love that is natural, and it needs to be preserved and sanctified. So you think kind of the opposite of that little voice telling you what's important, all this other self-love stuff that can get you, make you feel good and all that, and go to the other side that's a more natural thing that needs to be preserved and sanctified. That's what the self-love is we're talking about, is loving yourself. It's taking care of yourself. We must love ourselves. And it's having regard for the dignity of our nature. It's having dignity, and it's having a due concern for our welfare, for our welfare of our body, for the welfare of our souls. So it's not, you know, self-love. It's not standing in the mirror and, boy, I sure love you, guy, looking back at me in the mirror. I love you because, man, you're really handsome. And you are the best, and we are just going to go out and have some fun. That is not the kind of self-love we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of self-love that as you're looking in the mirror and saying, you're all right. I need to take better care of myself. I need to have respect for this body that God gave me. I need to have a concern about the welfare of my soul, the welfare of my body. I need to take care of it. I need to have regard for this. You know, it's prescribed in Scripture that I just read, Matthew 22, 34 through 40. It's prescribed in there that we love our neighbor as ourself. We need to honor and esteem all men and women. We need to, it doesn't matter what their financial status is, what their social status is, what color of the skin they are. It doesn't matter what language they speak, what their heritage is. It really doesn't even matter. It really doesn't even matter what gender they want to be called. I know that's controversial, but you know what? These are all God's people. And, you know, it doesn't matter. We're told, you know, I mean, these are more words that I'm love your neighbor as yourself. Those five words contain all of this, what I'm saying. You need to hold all men in esteem and make sure that you don't wrong your fellow man, and make sure that you don't injure your fellow man. And by that, I mean physical injury, emotional injury, mental injury, you know, anything that that can be injured. Don't do it to your fellow man. You know, we must have goodwill to everyone and good wishes for all. You know, it's hard. I know it's hard when you're driving down the freeway or down the street and somebody cuts you off or somebody's tailgating you, because believe me, this happens to me every single day. It's hard to have, you know, hold somebody who's doing you wrong, or what you think is being done wrong. It's hard to hold them in high esteem and a high regard, right? But as soon as I think that, then I hear that still small voice in my head saying, no, don't do it. You're wrong, Jay. You're wrong. That's not the way we treat other people. And so, you know, I'm in my early 60s and I'm still learning that we need to treat people better. We need to treat people as we would treat ourselves. You know, it's the golden rule, right? We have to have goodwill toward everybody. And as we have, and this is important, as we have the opportunity, we need to do good to all. Okay, I need to take my own advice on this one. Because how many times have we driven past a somebody standing on a street corner with a sign that says, I need help, or help me, or whatever it says, help me, you know, I need money, or whatever the sign says, and they need help. You know, it really doesn't matter why they're out there on the street corner, does it? They could be a, you know, drug user. They could be a just down on their luck. They might have just lost their job. They could be severely in debt and they lost their job, and they have nowhere to turn. And there they are out on the street corner, hoping somebody hands them a dollar bill. This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for you and me. And I need to do this myself, is to stop. Don't hand them a dollar bill. Don't hand them a bottle of water. Don't hand them a blessing bag. You know, don't just hand them a bag and say, God bless. You know, give them your spare change or whatever. But as you have the opportunity, your first step really could be to pull over and go up to that person and get their story. Find out what their story is. But for the grace of God, that could be you out in that street corner. And sometimes people just need somebody to talk to. Sometimes somebody just needs somebody to listen to them. And then if you want to give them a dollar, if you want to give them a blessing bag, if you want to give them a Bible, if you want to give them a bottle of water or whatever you want to give them, go ahead. But stop and talk to them. Stop and find out what their story is. Because you may be able to do a lot more good than you think. So the summary here is, we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the guy on the street corner, the woman on the street corner, the woman who is sitting at the edge of the parking lot, this within a mile of me, who is sitting there with a stroller with a baby in it, and she's got a sign. Now, is it real? I don't know. Is she just using her kid to get some money? I don't know. Is she honestly in need? Chances are, yeah. But we need to have a little bit of grace. And like I say, don't just hand them something, but ask them, what's their story? You know, what brings you here? You know, I had my grandson and myself, we served at a gospel mission in Everett, Washington last Easter, and we served helped serve an Easter dinner for all the folks that utilized the mission, and that was really a great experience. It opened my eyes in a lot of ways. But the reason I bring that up is that I ran into a gentleman there who, on his way to serving during the same dinner, he was another volunteer. He said he took his cell phone and he just, this idea just hit him in the head. He took his cell phone and he went up to just a random, kind of maybe homeless type people or kind of down on their luck out on the street on his way to serving, at the mission this particular day. He offered, like a free, just here, use my cell phone and call whoever you want to call. I'll give you, like 5 minutes to call somebody or 10 minutes to call your mom. How long has it been since you talked to your mom? Here, use my cell phone and do that. Now, you may not want to do that, but isn't that a great idea? Isn't that a great idea? But you go get their story. You talk to them. Anybody can hand out a dollar bill or a bag full of things that they probably have 100 bags of already. And then you also have an opportunity to spread the gospel at the same time. That's what having the opportunity to do good means. So we need to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we need to do it as sincerely as we love ourselves. So if we're concerned about our own soul and our own bodies, then we need to be concerned about our neighbor's soul and their well-being. In some cases, we need to deny ourselves. We need to not just deny ourselves, but make sacrifices for the good of our neighbor. And then make ourselves servants, to the true welfare of others. So you and I and most others calling themselves Christians should be willing to spend. And I'm not talking about money now. I'm talking about resources, whether it's mostly, I'm talking about your own self, your own resources, your own ability to communicate with people. We need to be willing to spend and be spent for them. We need to be able to outlay. That's the right word. We need to be able to give of ourselves, be spent for others, and lay down our lives for the brethren, meaning your fellow Christians and your fellow man. So this is the essence of, this is really the essence of following Jesus. So, this went a little bit longer than I was planning on, but that's good because I feel like I made progress and got a point across, and more than just to you, the listener, but also to myself, because sometimes it helps just talking out loud, So these are things I need to do better myself, and I hope you can join me in the effort. I want to encourage you to write to me, email me at weeklyword2020@gmail.com. That's weeklyword2020@gmail.com. And tell me in particular how this episode may have affected you, or if you've got some ideas as to how we can demonstrate our love for our fellow man. I would really love to hear that. I'd also love to hear who's listening and where you're listening from, and if you have any prayer requests, I can surely take care of those for you too. So that's weeklyword2020@gmail.com. And I thank you again very much for listening, and God bless, and we'll see you next time.